everybody, and welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss.
And I'm Theo Vaughn.
And our special guest today is from Dancing with the Stars, Mr. Maxim Shmyrkovsky. Right?
Yeah, and you guys are back to even. Look at that. That was
look at
awesome.
That. We were pre-gaming, and Theo was in the lead. But we needed to start it right away. So we are here with Maxim. You are our second foreign guest ever.
Yeah.
We are going international by having you here because you are from the Ukraine.
Originally, but for the last quarter of century from Brooklyn.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. So is your accent like a Brooklyn Ukrainian mix?
I'm foreigner in Ukraine at the moment.
Oh, okay.
I so for sure. But yeah, no, I was born in Ukraine. We immigrated in 94. I was 14. Finished 9 grades of back then USSR. Gifted science schools, chemistry and biology major, which when I
that's bomb building mostly,
right?
Over there, isn't
basically,
it?
Basically, yeah. When I landed in US and went to I took a placement test to NYU and they thought I was cheating.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's why I didn't get in, but I went to okay. Pace. They did me a favor.
That's what they were telling you. Oh, we think you're
cheating. I would still be paying college tuition. But anyway.
Well, can I just say something that this has been a fantastic week for me because I got to meet Lady Gaga and touch her.
Oh, wow,
I
nice.
Interviewed Matt Bomer for details, and now Maxim's here. This is like gay Christmas for me.
Yeah.
Or I should say gay Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Gay Hanukkah.
True. Oh, now that's you're awesome. J-dropping. He's,
right.
But what
right.
Are you, he's Jewish and Christian. Well, so
I'm a little half and half.
Well, you can't spell Monroe without men. Hey. Yeah. Get it?
And that's another place where we're different. Matt's
and,
from the
and
North.
And Theo's back in the lead.
Yeah.
Oh, talking about. After this joke. Yeah.
Ladies.
Well. Wow, I was trying to butter you up there. Forget it.
Yeah, bro.
All right, so let's get to our first round of Allegedly. And the first round is Theo and I will each tell a story from our lives, and you get to judge based on whatever criteria you want, whether it's funny or embarrassing or sweet or whatever, awkward,
let's
which one wins the round.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and we can talk throughout the stories if you want to have any questions or whatever as we're going along. And that's how it's going to go. Let's get 5 minutes on the clock, and Matthew's going to tell his story first because mine's better. I'd rather you hear it in a minute.
You got it. Let's do it.
I don't like this already.
Yep, you're losing.
Anyway, so I directed a short film called Mean People Suck that went to a lot of festivals. I'm dropping some star James Franco and, you know, a lot of people.
It's a good film.
It was a good film. Anyway, the festival circuit is really weird.
Right.
Because every town in the world has a festival. There is like a Des Moines festival. There is like the Taipei festival. There's, I'm sure, the Ukraine festival. But
it's a big one.
Yeah,
probably.
it's probably a big one.
This is a pretty big country.
And my film couldn't get into any of the big ones.
Gotcha.
So it got into the small ones. And the only one that would pay for me to fly out, because I'm not paying to go, was Fargo, North Dakota.
Wow. Oh,
no.
So I went to the Fargo, North Dakota Film Festival for where my film won Best Short Film.
It was the only film.
Amongst one, I was going to ask, like, well, was there a stiff competition or just everybody was cold and they wanted to go home?
I don't know. I was probably the only one who said yes. And by the way, they for whatever reason, they have it in the middle of winter. Like, right. If you were in Fargo, North Dakota, why would you have your film festival in the middle
of
winter?
That's all they have is the middle of winter.
That's true. That's all it is. And so not only that, but they won't put you up in a hotel or not. So you have to stay with the volunteers of the festivals at their place.
The local Y.
This guy picks me up in the car and he's like, oh, you're like the biggest guy I've had in this car since Phil Donahue. And I was like, okay. So then we go, they have me stay at this woman's, an art studio that this woman who works with the festival, in her art studio that has a little bedroom in the back and a bathroom. And so I'm by myself. They drop me off there. It's because I came in at night and I don't know what to do. I use the restroom.
Right.
And unfortunately, I flood the restroom.
Oh, wow.
And so it went. It flooded everywhere. So I had to call this poor woman from her house, and she came over with her fucking plunger, and she had to do this for me. It gets better. And I'm so apologetic. And I'm like, I feel so bad. Like, honestly, it's not, you know, like, I don't know what I did, but and she's like, no, it's okay. But then they moved me to another house, right? Because you had to bounce around places because you were at the call of whatever they wanted you to go. So I go to the second house with a family, and guess what the fuck happens?
You flooded their bathroom.
I flooded their toilet too.
So is this a plumbing problem or is this your problem?
I think it's your problem, dude.
I think
what
it might
are you
be
eating.
I think it might be like maybe the pipes are like frozen, but I guess that wouldn't make sense or something. Anyway, so the kicker to the story, and I felt so awful because
Yeah, because you're the asshole that flooded their bathroom. That's why.
Two bathrooms.
Both houses.
Both places. No wonder I haven't been asked back to the Fargo, North Dakota Festival. So anyway, the big screening of my film comes, and the mayor of the town presents me my award.
Who happens to be somebody who lives in one of the houses.
No,
who happens to be a plumber.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
A plumber. But everybody from town, like, shows up. And so they say, we want to give this award to Matthew Weiss. And then he turns to his side. He goes, don't let him use your bathroom. The whole town cracks up. Because I'm assuming this, like, small town, like, they all
everybody
know that I've
then.
Broken everybody's fucking bathroom. Which is, and I was like, oh, my God, get me out of here. And, of course, it snowed in, and I had to spend 5 extra days in Fargo, North Dakota. Which was crazy. But the kicker to this story is my short film is pretty raunchy. There's a lot of sex and stuff in it. And this was not. There was children and there was older people in the crowd, and I'm like, ooh, they're not going to like it. It went over so great that this old woman in her 80s, she comes to me at the end. She's like, it was so fantastic. I said, thank you. She said, my favorite scene was when that girl was polishing that boy's knob. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. She's like, it was brilliant. And I was like, all right, well, I knob polisher.
I just don't want to disrespect North Dakota or Fargo residents, but I'm sure this is probably one of the few things they saw.
They get a movie every 10 years. It's like this, and they got like The Goonies, and they have The Graduate, and that's it. I'm glad that I could give art to North Dakota, and I'm glad that I could... give more of myself to North Dakota all over their floor.
Wow, dude, you're disgusting. Yeah, okay, man. We're going to move on to my story now. Can I get 5 minutes on the clock? Thank you very much. Well, you inspired me actually about a story. So sometimes as a comedian, you'll go to a small town or somewhere and do like a show. So I was doing a show in Michigan.
State dropping.
At Grand Lakes or something lakes, something like Sweet Lakes, Michigan or someplace. And they had a college there. And the people who were putting me up, the university put you up. I think they had you stay with whoever was running the organization for that year. This year, it happened to be someone who lived and worked at a funeral parlor in this town, right? So I'm there along with a professional wrestler, this guy, The Miz, they call him, Mike Mizanin, right? So he and I are at this college. We're both doing separate events, and afterwards we go. We're at this funeral parlor. Like, we're staying at this funeral parlor. They have two dead bodies in the parlor while we're there. Like, totally cool. Like, they let us go up and see them. It was like this whole. It was an old lady and an old man, right?
I'm not sure if you should be, that's you should not, be saying this.
There's some kind of
nuts.
Code of ethics that's breaking, isn't there? Some like FDA rule.
Made it up and took pictures with them.
One of them had makeup on and one of them didn't have makeup on yet, which was interesting.
Yes.
But anyway, so that night after our shows, we go out and just get hammered in the small town, right? Just get plastered.
I see where
so afterwards,
going.
We go back to the place and the guy that we're with... I think honestly he was a homosexual and he was attracted to me and my buddy The Miz, right? So he's like, you know, what do you guys want to get into? And we're like, we want to take the hearse for a ride, you know?
Oh, no.
And this guy's like, I don't know if I can let y'all do that. And we're like, yeah, you can. And he's like, okay, you're right, I can, right? Like,
because he wants to blow you in the back of the hearse.
Way easy to convince, right?
With the body.
So anyway, next thing you know, me and The Miz take this hearse around this small town trying to pick up chicks that are drunk leaving the bars, right?
Oh my God.
So literally, we would pull up to chicks and be like, hey, you ladies need a ride, right? And like, where are you going? And we're like, hell, you know. And actually, this one girl and her friend got in, and I got half of a hand job in the back of a hearse.
How wait a second, get, how, what's like, half what, of a hand job?
She was missing fingers. I'm just asking.
That's a good question.
I don't remember if I just remember it was half of a hand job, and I don't remember if it was the beginning half or the end half, because I might have already been mildly pleasuring myself.
Wow.
So it could have been just the second half of a hand job, but I got one in the back of a hearse in sub-zero temperatures, drunk driving around a small town, I think Sweet Lakes, Michigan.
That's borderline necrophilia.
Well, it was pretty damn close. And then the other guy, The Miz, brought this girl back to the funeral parlor.
Oh,
and
nothing more romantic than a funeral parlor.
She didn't want to hook up, though. She just wanted to see the dead bodies.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That's romance, a true story, man.
Romance killer.
That's what happened.
Wow.
Wow, I mean, are you done?
So, yep, that's my story. I'm done.
Story.
Early, too. Finished early. Just like I did in the hearse.
I just didn't want to say it.
Wow.
Yeah, no. First of all, both are amazing stories. I think it's like an episode of Dumb and Dumber.
Really, that's what we are, basically.
Actually, yeah, one smart. From the first one with a bathroom scene that was brilliant.
Thank you.
And this one with the hearse, I think the second Dumb and Dumber just like on TV for the last 3 weeks nonstop.
True.
Oh man, I don't know. I think I'm gonna go with. I'm going to go with the plumbing thing.
Yeah. What the fuck? Really? That's the worst story I've ever heard.
I'll tell you why. First of all, ethically, it's just like it's hard for me to award someone who is just like, you know, I mean, there could be somebody's relatives.
Yeah, and they're up partying. You're still up partying.
Way to be sensitive, Theo.
Right?
Come on.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that and thinking, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what I would do if I was in a hearse.
Hopefully you'd have a cocktail.
And just celebrate the life.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, there was only half a hand job. That's not right.
So points deducted for that, for sure. Half a hand job, you know, little.
Jesus, that's way more than hand
job.
I didn't get any hand jobs, but Jesus. In the whole time of Fargo, North Dakota.
I mean, listen, it's a talent to clog up two bathrooms in a town of like five houses, probably. So like a third of the town did not have plumbing. Most likely you messed up somebody else's plumbing because they're all like connected, like one pipe.
Which
is why probably this happened to begin with. And yes. You're right. Maybe it was just frozen pipes everywhere.
No one's taking a shower in three
everybody
days.
For the next 5 days, everybody's like, well, thanks, asshole.
Literally.
Asshole, yeah.
Okay, so that's round one.
Wow, I will take that win. Even though that's embarrassing, I will take that win.
You guys are funny.
All right, let's move on to round two.
Hottest guy to give Matt something in a while, I'm sure. Round one for Matt.
You don't know.
Well, listen.
But it's true. It's very true.
Yeah, he prefers young males anyway.
Well, he did touch Lady Gaga, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's been a good week for him.
Gay Hanukkah. Woohoo.
Gay Hanukkah.
All right, let's move on to round two, which is our interview round with our awesome guest, Maxim, here. This is where we'll take turns asking you questions. First off, if there's anything you don't like the question of, feel free to not answer.
Or to answer it.
Do
you know me?
Like, of course.
So, I mean, so we just know what we've seen you view on television. And we know what we've seen.
Which is like heavily censored. I mean, it is Disney-owned ABC channel.
True.
Of course.
Not a lot of things. But
so we're going to get behind the mouse.
But a lot of it won't be about Dancing with the Stars stuff. It'll be like, you.
I'm hoping because I was referring to the fact that I don't hold back. You can ask me anything.
Awesome. Okay. Perfect.
I just did not have that opportunity. Mickey Mouse was writing my checks. Come on.
Wow.
Gotta be censored a little bit.
But is no longer. You're not on this season.
No.
Is this a permanent thing?
It's a permanent thing. Okay. Yeah, I'm not coming back.
You're not coming back. All right.
Mickey's going to be okay.
All right. Okay. But your brother's on there now.
His problem.
All right.
I'll start. First question is going to be mine. Now, I read that you have a rod in your leg from a surgery when you were young.
Yes.
Is that considered cheating in the dance profession? That seems totally like cheating. Like, yeah, this guy can spin for a half hour. He's 1/11th titanium.
It doesn't work that way. No. But
seems like it works that way.
Rod was taken out, actually. I took it out immediately as I could because the piece of it was infringing on a hip joint, like all this medical mumbo jumbo. But the thing is that I was never supposed to be getting the rod because it's, you know, it was very expensive, and this is we're talking like 93.
Mm-hmm. And why did you have the rod in the first place?
I severely broke my leg, shattered my femur bone. They reconstructed it, put it together, and it was crazy. Genius, miraculous operation. Somehow I walked, somehow I didn't lose my leg. It was crazy. The funny story is that when I said I wanted out, because I already danced with it and it was crazy and all of that. So I went back to the hospital and they said it's like removing appendix. One day, next day you'll be out. I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. It was hurting. I was whining. I was like, you know, they, as miraculous as my operation was, that taking out of the rod, which was supposed to be done by, you know, anybody, was awful. And they just messed up my hip joint. I found out about this maybe like half a year ago. So cut to, I'm whining and I'm crying and I'm crying and I'm whining. And so the doctors got so fed up of me just being in this hospital and then disturbing them. They're like, listen, we're not supposed to do this. We'll give you this fucking rod if you just stop crying. literally.
Give you the rod that was in
and so they gave me this titanium piece of metal, which is probably like some sort of like, at that time, some Nassau type of material that did not exist. This is Ukraine again. You know,
right.
The rod was like half
it's like steel.
Yeah.
Half something they didn't have. Or
half of Ukraine's national GDP or something. But yeah, I walked away with this thing, tears in my eyes, and like.
Where is it now? Do you have it like in a case somewhere? Like
fucking lost it, man.
No way, you lost it?
No, in immigration. I think my grandma kept it or something like that. I asked mom. I was like, "Where is it now?" She has no idea.
Wow. The Ukraine's like, you can take all your talent, but you ain't
cannot
taking
take
this titanium.
Titanium. Yeah.
All right, my question is: when you were growing up in the Ukraine and you wanted to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Was your life story like Billy Elliot? Because I assume like Ukraine was not a dancing place. I don't know.
Not even a little bit. Well, Ukraine was a dancing place. You know, ballroom dancing in Eastern Europe is part of high school and school curriculum. So, you know, it was like a gym class. You know, so is ice skating and fucking any snow activity in Russia because it just snows. You know, Siberians just go to school and skis and stuff like that. So, you know, you grow up with this inserted in your culture. You don't look at it weird. I hated dancing. That's a true story. Everybody knows. It's been heavily documented. I did not like dancing. I was 4 when my parents chose it for me. But then there was also swimming, and soccer, and tennis, and math class, and building little
meth
ships
class.
And stuff.
Jesus. We didn't have meth class.
Yeah.
Math class.
Math, not the Breaking
class?
Bad math, the other math, the counting one, the chemistry and biology, all this stuff. So I could have actually done some things. But no, school, education system over there was torturous. It was insane. But no, dancing was not my thing. The thing that it became... when it became my profession was when I landed in U.S. And a quick story is I went for some little cash job, whatever.
I've paid for some of those.
Right. Yeah.
Well, see.
I delivered newspapers one day and I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. And I'm like, there's got to be a better way to make money. So I was 14, didn't have English. And I was like, okay, so I have a talent. I can dance a little bit. You know, at that time it was 10 years of dancing. So I went to a Russian restaurant and... when the guy asked me how much I wanted to get paid together with my partner, who was, by the way, very Jewish. And the next thing
he's
pointing
at me like I'm the definition of Jew.
No, I'm saying that these two 14-year-olds, half of whom is in yeshiva at that time, and, you know, she's coming in all proper and stuff, and we're doing at midnight. I mean, this was like child slavery and some stuff like that. You know, for cash money. I mean, I'm not going to give
for
out the name.
For cash money, for Jewish child slavery.
For cash money.
So he looks at me, he's like, and I have zero negotiating skills at that time. The guy used to be ex-boxer, he's a giant man. I'm this tiny 14-year-old kid, and he's like, so much you want to get paid? And I go, and I'm like... it's 25. He's like, perfect, $25. So I worked for $25 a show, and $75 a weekend was a lot of money at that time.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point of the story is I felt like we were underpaid for some odd reason. And I was like, I want to get a raise. What do I do? I'm not going to come up to him and say, nobody in the right mind, this dude is like 6'5", giant man. I'm like, you know, probably some mafia connections or whatever. I'm like, I'm not going to roll up on him and be like, listen, I demand more money.
Right.
It's not a U.S. government. So I come in and so in my mind, I thought, listen, I need to bring him a trophy. If I win a trophy of some sort, right? So, you know, what trophy is there to win? Shit, man, U.S. national title. That would be big, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, cool. Well, let's go win it. And how do we win it? So that's when I got into competing and into actually training and being coached and took it seriously only because I wanted to get a raise. I never got a raise. I quit way before. It sucked. You know, the whole thing sucked me in. But no, I worked a lot. I had my own show a couple of years later in another restaurant for $50 a show. So things were looking
up. All right. Well, were you ostracized? As when people look at you as like a dancer, and especially people assume you're gay as well?
Well, yeah, I mean,
because of the dancing.
Well, gay men probably do, because gay men think they're all dancers, well, and they want every man to be a dancer.
So you know, you go to Brooklyn High School. I finished Edward R. Morrow High School in Avenue L and 17, which is not a neighborhood you want to show up in and be all prancy and stuff like that. We had, you know, I've seen bad fights outside. I mean, it was crazy. The worst fight, by the way, chicks.
Oh, yeah?
This Puerto Rican girl and this African-American chick, and they're just going at it. It was crazy. I've traumatized. Yeah, after that, UFC seemed like a little
like, oh, this is a little lightweight. Soft.
UFC lightweight. In Brooklyn High School.
But, you know, but they looked at me and I didn't understand why I was never picked on, you know. But then I realized I was 6'1 at 15. I don't know what happened. Just a giant growth spur. I was a big dude. But also because I was, you know, I never frowned upon it. I was the only straight guy in top 12 in the world when I turned pro. Was me and this other dude that was straight. You know what I mean? Mm. So top 24 couples on the planet, and there's five of us. Mm. You know, so clearly, it was the advantage was on my side,
right,
in terms of the ladies. And so looking back at it, all these guys that I grew up with and you know, their families now, and they're looking at me like, we envied you. I'm like, well, you didn't fucking sound that way. You know, but now I look back and I'm thinking that was awesome. And, you know, this whole bullying thing, I'm not trying to make it into a serious show, but this whole bullying thing is It exists in your mind if you let somebody bully you, if you don't believe that what you do, you know what I mean?
If you don't give them that power.
Yeah, if you give them that power and you question your, you know, what is it that you're trying to do with your life, then you're almost like, you know, you're not welcoming this bullying, but you're giving them the
power.
But
that's easier said than done.
Of course, people did, you know, look at me strange. People did look at me weird. I think what saved me is that I didn't speak the language. I couldn't understand what they were saying.
So maybe they were picking on you the whole time and you had no idea.
But I think this dancing thing really saved my ass. I could have done. I could have gone a lot of different directions in Brooklyn. So.
Right. So I have a question here. So now attraction, I'm sure, is a huge part of dancing. Does it help when you have an attraction to whomever you're dancing with?
Like, no.
It doesn't.
No.
It's Does it just, hurt?
Well, I mean, depending on how you do it. But, this guy, maybe in a hearse.
I mean, that's the only way he knows how to do it.
So. Literally, my next question was, what is a dancer's belt? Have you ever heard of the dancer's belt?
Yes.
Is that something
It's the worst invention on the planet. I'll tell you that in a second.
Okay.
No, the attraction, you know, in my field, it was a competitive ballroom dancing. Your success depends on your partner, right? For both people.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing, and I learned it very early. My first girlfriend, I was a bit of a late bloomer. My first girlfriend I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And 17, 18, 19 were the worst years of my life because she was a crazy bitch. Mm-hmm. And she knows that, by the way. She's out there somewhere. If she hears
not
this.
A newsflash.
Was she American, though? No.
No, she was also a fellow immigrant. She was super hot.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like, you know, I have the hottest chick in the neighborhood at that time.
But she was crazy.
But she was insane. Yeah, no, okay. She was insane, drove me crazy, and this was like one of those things that could really scar you for life. But I learned a valuable lesson. Do not, you know, basically don't have sex with your partner. You know?
Wow.
I mean, it's just not something that you can benefit from, because then it spills over and the drama continues on the dance floor.
And right, and then
my nightmare for years was I would wake up because I would have this nightmare where we're in the middle of British Open. This is a true story, and I actually said it to somebody. We're in the middle of British Open, which is our biggest competition in England, and you know, she just, like, music's about to begin, and there's like 20 couples on the floor. My heat, we're about to do a cha-cha. You know, I have a number in my back, bang. And it's like, and music, please. And once he says music, please, music starts. You know, we all start dancing. That's the competition format. He says, "Music, please." And she looks at me. She goes, "You're an asshole." And I'm like, "Wait, what are you doing right now? This is not the time. This is, well, you told me that I was the prettiest girl." I'm like, "Are you fucking kidding me right now?" This, and so literally this would happen.
This is your recurring nightmare.
Night and overnight, every like once a month or something like that.
And how many times is this? I have a feeling that this nightmare has come true a million times.
Not once. But after this, my next part, finally, I cut the ties, my It was a big problem, you know. Dancing was part of our family. Val's dancing at this point, my brother, and so you know, my parents had to intervene because she was taking me in the wrong direction. Anyway, my next partner was this super hot Italian chick from Italy, and I actually split my time between New York and Italy for about a year and a half. Started speaking Italian. It was an amazing time. Samantha Toni, she was on Dancing with the Stars in Italy. Hot.
I mean, sounds hot.
Smoking.
Dude.
Amazing. And the first time we traveled together, we are in England because my coaches were in England at that time. So we stayed in this tiny, tiny hotel because we don't have any money. So we just like found this tiny room. The bed occupied the entire room. So we had to keep our, yeah, our luggage outside because it just wouldn't fit. And the shower was outside. Also, we shared it with the other three couples. And so I go to the shower. And so she comes out and we kind of got stuck in the doorway and her towel drops and she's like, all European and naked and shit. And so she's like, "Oh, I'm excuse me." And I'm like, "This is fucked up, you know?" So I'm thinking, we have to go sleep together now. So I went to shower. I waited till she was in the bathroom something. I come out and I'm like by the, you know, and the bed, by the way, this is the size of like two chairs. So I'm by the wall, facing the wall. And that's how I slept the entire time. I woke up with like neck cramp and stuff because I just did not want to have anything to happen because I just had this awful experience for 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so yeah, it's just some restraint.
The next morning we'll go to practice in this like super famous studio in England, and they had this guy that was playing music, and he was very gay. And he comes in, he looks at me and he like gives me these looks. And then, you know, we come home, we're having dinner or something, and Samantha looks at me, I'm like, "Hey, so you know Greg Duet, his name was Greg, is awesome guy. Greg looked at me a little strange today." She's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He come up to me and he asked me if you're gay." And I go, "Okay." And what she said? She said, I said, "I don't know." I'm like, "What do you mean you don't know? What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, I don't know because last night I was naked and you slept facing the wall, and how do I know?" I'm like, "This is bullshit."
Wow, that's a great story.
You can't fucking win.
So then let me ask you, what is the dancer's belt? This is a question from social media from Jay Fizzy.
It's a dance belt. It's like dancers.
Oh, what belt is a dance belt?
Dance belt is basically a thong for men.
And what is its purpose?
I don't fucking know, but it's uncomfortable as shit. No, I think the purpose is not to have, because when you wear, I think it's a, it comes from ballet, actually.
Okay.
And you know how they wear tights?
Right.
And for some reason, you can't show that you're wearing underwear or something like that, you know? So,
follow-up question was, they were wondering if it was to hold something in case you get excited while you're dancing.
No, as a matter of fact, dance belt allows room for stuffing of a sock.
Ooh. Oh, have you stuffed? Are you a stuffer?
I'm not a ballet dancer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Ah, but that doesn't answer the question.
Am I a stuffer? No, I probably wouldn't stuff. And I have worn tight things in the past.
Okay.
And I just want to go on the record that every time you looked at my crotch, it was all me.
That's natural. That is natural crotch he's displaying, ladies and gentlemen.
But you do sometimes get a little excited.
Yeah,
about
it happens,
things.
Huh?
A little
it
flare.
Happens, and then you just have to, you just have to trust that your excitement is enough on its own without any sort of stuffing.
I see.
Is there a notorious stuffer that you know?
Yes, we're not going to go into that.
Mikhail Baryshnikov, is that who it is?
No,
I'm just kidding.
Like
okay,
my question.
I did try it one time, not going to lie. Listen, I'm not a homophobe, obviously, being a dancer and all that, but it's awful. I don't know how
stuffing?
People do it.
Stuffing?
No, the thong in your
ass. Oh, the thong.
I don't know how girls do it. I don't know how anybody would do
it.
It seems just extremely uncomfortable.
I'm doing it right now.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
He looks like he might be.
I'm not.
He's like, "I'm not, damn it."
But I win because I just got Maxim to look at my crotch. Boom. I won. That's how
I'm Commander, so it's okay.
You
look too.
Wow.
He's been looking. Actually, I don't think he's looked at your eyes once, Maxim. This is sad.
Go ahead, Theo.
Okay, you and Denise Richards didn't make it far on Dance with the Stars in 2009.
Uh-oh.
Did Charlie Sheen ever come to set? Did you ever get to meet him?
No, I heard some crazy stories though. But
yeah, of course,
it's crazy.
Everybody has. Every porn star that I meet is always like, "I'll tell you about this crazy story about Charlie Sheen." But yeah. You can't tell.
I don't know. I mean, Denise was awesome. We had a great time. You know, she was like,
was she a good dancer or not?
No.
Yeah.
No. And Denise would probably, if she's listening, yeah, she'd say the same thing. We tried. She did her best. She really did her best. And you know, some people just, it's hard. You know, this conveyor belt of having to put something together, bang, bang, bang. 3 days later, you have to go perform, wow, in front of a million, yeah, people live, and this whole drama, and it's crazy. So you know, some people can handle, some not. She tried. We worked well together, but it just didn't happen.
Here's a question from Anna Lucia Riglos: If you had to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with three of your former partners,
that's great.
Who would it be?
Oh, Jesus!
And we don't have to say kill.
No, we can say kill.
Dump. Oh, well, we could say, okay, kill.
Oh man.
And I will follow it up with, no, go ahead.
Hold on. I would, I can't believe it. Never. Well, actually, by the way, first of all, I just want to be on the record, did not have any sort of relations with any of my partners.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, one. Back, okay, back in the day. Wow.
Immediately.
A very long time ago.
Hey, that's nice, though.
A very long time ago. Yeah. No, Willa Ford. We dated for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you can't blame me. It's 2006, and, yeah, you know, I'm super young. And
look, I date Willa Ford now, so I think, you're good. I think that's a good move, no matter what.
I'm going to stick with that as in the fuck category, just because,
okay,
it happened.
Okay.
You know, marry and kill. My former partners, marry and kill. I would probably marry, well, thank God it's not going to happen, but somebody like Misty May Traynor was awesome.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. And she's an amazing chick.
Yeah.
We had a great time, and I would definitely kill Hope Solo.
Yeah.
There you go.
But you
I
know.
Think her vagina looks like it's already been killed. Have you seen those pictures online?
Jesus. Oh, stop that. That's sorry, bro.
Very intense looking.
Oh,
it's out
is that,
there.
Is that, I haven't.
I'm sure,
no,
you've seen.
I haven't.
You haven't?
No, I didn't. No. There's like iCloud came out, and there was just a bunch of people on it that I know, and I just didn't know what.
This is how gay I am. I don't even know what you're referring to.
Well, yeah, they had like a big thing where a bunch of people.
Oh, when all the
pictures
the celebrity,
got stolen.
She was one of them. That thing was awful.
Yeah, and what was it about her that made her a tough partner? Was she just too masculine? Was she too tough of a woman?
Oh, she's just a shitty person.
Yeah, you know, not excited.
It happens.
Cool, not cool.
No, yeah, just a shitty person.
That's what
it's
I've
not. It's not. Look, you know, people can be bad or good or whatever, but you know, you can have a shitty life growing up. You can have a tough upbringing. You can have history. You can have whatever. But if you're just a bad person, you know what I mean? There's, yeah, no excuse for that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and
at a certain point, it's your own choice that you're making to be that.
Absolutely. You know, she wrote a book. She lied about a bunch of stuff. We don't want to bring this back up and whatever. Right. But, you know, I had a very tough time dealing with that. It was not something I wanted to talk about, you know, for a long time. And, you know, I took a bit of a high road, got this whole social media blow up. I remember I spent the weekend, I was in Vegas working on Larev, you know, doing choreography. And I had to fucking hide out for a weekend in the room because the entire social media was like, you know, we're going to fucking kill you. All these sucker fans, wow, were believing what she was saying. And, you know, we should have bombed your country instead of Iraq.
Jesus.
I'm like, you're fucking illiterate and you don't know your history.
Wow.
But whatever, you know, so it's just, it was bad. And it was all because somebody just didn't have brains enough, mm-hmm, to understand the right and wrong and good and bad.
Right,
so that's
right.
It. You know, I tried, you know, my downfall, but my, I'm honest to the fault, and I'm also, you know, I'm also true to what I do. And so on this show, you know, maybe I was just not a good person for Dancing with the Stars because, you know, for me, it was never about politics, and it was never about trying to look good for the camera and do something that gets the votes and blah, blah. No, I had one job. I had to teach somebody how to dance, whether they could or couldn't, whether they wanted to or didn't, and that's all I did. You know, I was 100% dedicated to Monday nights, and I didn't care how I looked in the process.
Yeah.
And, you know, the show capitalized on this a little bit, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, it was still me. I remember I had a giant fight with my producers, and, you know, at that time, my executive producer came out and said, Max, look, you may not like us, you may not like what we do, you know, come Monday nights with packages and all that, but if you didn't say it,
we
wouldn't have it.
Yep. Right.
And I thought about it for about 2 days. And then I thought about it and I was like, okay, so on a scale of things, I can be lying to myself, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or be true to myself. And I chose to be true to myself. And sometimes, you know, everybody, when you are true to yourself, shit comes out that you know, public may not like.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I'm okay with that.
But I think in the end, it always works out the best when you are the most true to yourself.
The hardest part about being a person that you're trying to be is consistency and continuity. You know, if you, I spent, what is it, like 24 years now in the United States. I can tell you that since day one we landed, my dad, you know, our dad had like graffiti the entire kitchen, all the kitchen walls. The first thing he wrote was, "We will survive," literally. And it's not a sobbing, like,
right,
story. Everybody has the same story.
Right.
We've all done the same shit, gone through the same things. But, you know, we will survive. And then he wrote underneath, "We will not just survive, but develop." And we had no idea what it meant at that time. He was ridiculously misspelled. You know, then the wall got filled up with like with nouns and adjectives and sentences and whatever, just translations and everything else. But that phrase, "We'll not just survive," it's not just about surviving and living day by day.
Yeah.
It's about becoming better every day. And I can safely say, 24 years later, we've done our best. And as a family, me, my brother, I mean, he's uber successful, and you know, I'm trying to do my thing.
Yeah.
And I think where I am now is just the beginning. But every day, I would go to sleep having done something and having accomplished something. It could be tiny. It could be like, you know, clean some your room back then, or, you know, make a business deal now, or blah, blah. But that's my goal in life. And the only person that I am not responsible, but like I answer to is myself, is my conscience. When I go to bed, when my head hits the pillow and I close my eyes, I only answer to me. And if I'm a scumbag, me, you know, I am my own worst judge.
Right.
So it's not about this fucking Twitter and all these people telling me how to live and what to do and all this stuff. Everybody can be a critic. I am the biggest critic I have. Mm-hmm. Believe me.
Well, speaking
and
of
the best critic you have, probably.
I think, and the best too, you know, because I know me better than anybody
right.
else. You know,
speaking of your own ventures and stuff, can you want to tell us about this One Week, One Cause thing?
I support a lot of charitable organizations, and I got very passionate about, you know, organization that helps battered kids and all that stuff. And you know, it was very hard for me because I come from an incredible family.
Right.
We didn't have a lot, but we had abundance of love. Anyway, so I met this guy, Joe Milton. He's a uber rich person from Miami. He's a giant developer. And, you know, we became very close friends. And he's an amazing dude. Anyway, he introduced me to this organization called Alpha Lit. He's part of it for 25 years. He's now a president. Alpha Lit is a company that organization that eradicates illiteracy. Mm. And he said, okay, well, come with me. Let me just tell you what we're about, what we're doing. And I went to a school. It was in Florida. And anyway, so I saw these people that are all older than me that for the first time can read and spell and write their name. They didn't know how to count. And the next thing you know, I started learning that, you know, that living in a dark situation is what causes some of the awful things that happen to them in later on in life, diseases, accidents, and, mm-hmm. and such. And you're curing the actual cause.
You're getting to the root.
You're getting to the root.
And so illiteracy is the root, is one of the roots.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
So it became very, very important to me. And we're bringing Sway, which is my stage production. We had an amazing run for 3 times in New York City. We sold out Hammerstein Ballroom.
Nice.
Wow.
Joe flew in, saw it, said, "This is incredible. Let's do it together in Miami." I thought about it for about 2 seconds. I was like, fuck yeah, let's do it. So we're going to be in Miami in December during Art Basel.
It's
an incredible time to be there. I think something like 500,000 people are flying in from all over the world. We're going to fit right in, I think, with the artsy scene. And the show is getting a little bit of a facelift. Because we're in Miami, it's going to be, you know, even more Latin, more salsa-esque, even more like hot and steamy. I think it's going to be an amazing time. But, you know, I've been trying to promote this entity we call One Week, One Cause. It's going to be Sway, Five shows, December 3rd through 6th. We also have a celebrity golf tournament that you can purchase foursomes to play in and all that stuff. I'm going to play. I'm a phenomenal golfer. My friend Tony is going to play. He's a scratch golfer too. So, you know, some Henry Bialikov is also part of our cast. He's a great golfer as well. We just got into golf like a couple of years ago. For some reason. I don't know.
Awesome. We got to wrap up this round. So you get one quick question if you want to wrap it up.
Okay, I have one quick question.
This could change the round by this question.
Let's do it.
All right. So this is just going to go back to a Dancing with the Stars question. The guest judge, Abby Lee Miller, she's like a real, she's a real kunt. That's how I like to refer to it.
Kunt. I love it.
Was she gruff with you? Was she hard? Like, was it, did you feel like it was fair to have a judge there that couldn't even do the things that they were judging?
I don't know what is the purpose for Abby Lee Miller's existence.
Right.
To be fair.
It's not even to help foster good things.
It's
she's
not, no good things come out of that at all. I mean, you know, she said something. I was dancing with Meryl. We eventually won the season. I feel like she felt compelled to say something of some sort of critical nature.
Yeah,
she
right.
pointed out something at her feet, which was a, you know, at that time we did a contemporary routine and the feet were not part of my, you know, focus. We danced barefoot even, you know, so it was a little strange for me. And when I came upstairs, Aaron asked me, like, so what do you think about the comments by Abby? I was like, I really don't care about anything this woman has to say, you know, and so this blew up into this giant whatever. I honestly just disregard people like this.
Yeah,
you know,
good.
I think she's an awful human being. You know, I think she makes money and became famous on just borderline child abuse.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there are ways you can educate and
be positive.
Rightfully so. Maybe that's the way to push someone. God knows, I had a studio since I was 16 years old. I produced tons of champions, world champions, and you know, my brother was one of my students. So I was rough. I was not an easy teacher, you know, but I was getting the result done. I was trying to get there. I was trying to win.
Right.
But I was in front of the class showing it.
Right.
You know,
of
somebody
course.
Like Abby, who I found out didn't even dance.
Right. I mean, did you really have to?
It's like going,
I mean, that's kind of a given when you're looking
it's
at it.
It's like going to school and I'm like, I want to know chemistry. I'm like, okay, well, I'll teach you. I have no idea what it is, but we'll figure it out together.
Okay, and then my question now, my final question. You're not single, right?
No.
You're with Petra.
Peta.
Yeah, Petra's the guy from the
okay.
Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Peter.
That's Peter as well.
And now this, you don't have to answer this, but this is a personal question because I worked at TMZ.
Yeah.
And I remember a time when when it was all about, is Maxim dating J-Lo?
Yeah.
Can you tell me if that ever happened or not?
There was also all about time, is Maxim dating Meryl, and then there was also, is Maxim dating Denise Richards.
Yeah,
it must be nice to you, Maxim.
And then there was also, is Maxim dating Kirstie Alley, and is he dating everybody else that I was attached to?
Right. But was the J-Lo true or not true?
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't true?
No. We were friends.
All right. All right, well, that's that. We wrapped that round up.
Mm-hmm. Guys, you're fun. This is awesome.
You've got to pick a winner of the interview round.
And Theo is taking this round for round two.
What was it?
I think he just had more like a up and down,
okay.
you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Variety. We call it variety.
Yeah, but
variety.
Who asked about your about the charity work you do and what you're here to promote? So.
Well,
we'll
I mean,
just,
I definitely
about
asked about it as well. I mean, I inquired. I was curious.
But
it.
In my defense, who won the first round?
That's true. All right. So then we move on to our last round, which is the great debate. We have a list of topics here that you could choose
Let's
if you would
it.
Like. This is what Theo and I disagree on, certain things. Or you can pick your own. These are contemporary hot topics of the day. So let us know if there's anything you like or don't like.
Nazi grandma, give her the chair.
So just to clarify, the story is that this woman who was a telephone operator during the Holocaust is now being charged with like 220 counts of murder.
Yeah.
And she's in her 90s, I believe, and they want to give her the chair. Yeah. So the question is, does she deserve the chair or does she not?
And here's how it goes. Matt gets 1 minute and then I get a 30-second rebuttal. Then
go.
I get 1 minute, Matt gets 30-second rebuttal, then we open it up for conversation and we're done.
All right. On the clock. I believe that she does get the chair because she, I think she's responsible in, even if it wasn't directly, like she didn't put a gun to anybody's head herself, for this atrocious thing that happened and the loss of many, many, many lives. And I think she needs to be held responsible. And I also think that she's had a life for the last 90 or whatever, 50 years of her life or however old she was when she did it. So I don't feel necessarily like we're she actually got off better than most people should in that situation. She got to live a life for quite a while. I am pro-death penalty myself, and I believe in this case, with regards to the Holocaust, she should definitely be held accountable, and I say let her fry.
Wow. Okay, I'll take 30 seconds. I agree with in regards to the Holocaust, but you can't pin that whole word on this woman. This is somebody's grandmother, somebody's great-grandmother. You know, she's gone on and lived an entire life where, at that time, I'm sure if Jews didn't have very many rights under the Nazi regime, I'm sure women weren't faring all too well either. So I can only imagine what this lady went through. And I feel like she's probably lived a penance enough. You know, I don't know the woman. I mean, if she's still sitting there, like, getting tattoos of, like, swastikas on her shoulder, then maybe so. But otherwise, I don't think that that's very fair, man.
Damn.
Okay, now give your opinion.
Okay, I think at a certain point, we just have to decide if people are, you know, there has to be a statute of limitations and attaching this woman, who's basically just the only woman that they somehow found out is still alive, you know. I mean, who knows how many, you know, how long they've been searching for this lady or how they even came across her. And now they're just pinning this huge thing on her. I feel like she's lived enough of a struggle, I'm sure. I'd love to see some interviews with her and see, like, you know, how she feels and hear what, you know, her voice is on all these years of, like, pain that she might have felt. She was a phone operator. She was basically connecting, you know, these evildoers to one another. I'm sure possibly under the knife or gun of an evildoer. I'm sure she didn't have very much room. So I just feel like you can't blame it on this woman. I feel like even just bringing this up with her name attached to it is enough.
Well, my quick rebuttal to that is I know you brought up that she was a woman and she probably had issues because of the time. I can't even relate that to the massacre and the stuff that wouldn't happen to anybody else during the Holocaust. But, you know, I get your point and I see it. And I hope that she has struggled with it her life. And if she's come to terms with it on herself, good for her. But I still think in a governmental sense, she needs to be held accountable for that.
Right.
Okay, Maxim. Yes, what do you think?
Definitely not going to be held accountable for that. First of all, I come from a place where I actually spent 10 years of my life before it fell apart, USSR. It was a communist regime. It was a socialist kind of, like, whatever. You know, I know people disappeared. I know if you didn't do what the government tells you to do, you would have been punished, and it would have been like full-on punishment. It's not like, okay, slap on the wrist and move on. So, you know, that to me, Nazi regime was pretty much the same thing. You know, the history that I know, you know, this guy came in, said, this is what we're going to do. The country followed. And by the time they, wait a minute, are we really doing this? It was too late because you had the SS groups and everything else. It was just like, you know, KGB and everything else. So, you know, I'm telling you, it's not that easy. And
I believe it's not that easy.
And being a pro-Jew, obviously, and, you know, my grandma did lose most of her family in Holocaust. And, you know, I know, not firsthand, obviously, but I was born and grew up in a town that was one of the occupied towns during World War II, wow. You know, starved to death. My grandma was telling me stories about how they were eating each other and shit like this. So, you know, these things were bad, but... You know, may I say that there's an entity called necessary evil, you know, and after centuries and centuries and centuries of not having a land to call your own, you know, Jews did get, Holocaust was that thing that kind of turned it around and, you know, gave them the land of Israel. However problematic that turned for Palestinians and that whole, you know, Middle Eastern conflict that I'm not even going to get into. You know, I'm on both sides with that situation. But you can't pin it on a telephone operator. You can pin it on everybody from Hitler down. But if you're going to pin it on telephone operator, then pin it on every German.
Yeah.
You know, that was alive during that time because they were all part of this nation. They were all doing the same things. And listen, you know, probably there were people that were saying, look, this is bad. And we all know Schindler's List and that story. But this is not, you know, I don't think that that lady needs to be responsible for what somebody else were doing. And you know, you don't know. She had a family at that time. She was not given a choice to not do her job.
Well, we don't know. It could be the opposite as well.
So maybe we need more information.
Maybe we need information.
But
well,
that's a good... I agree.
I think I know who you're going with on this round.
I think so, too. I think Theo...
I really like that.
Wow.
Theo, Max, God, I think you're a great guy. I think you're a great guy.
Well...
Who wins the podcast today, Max?
Well, I mean, if it's a 2-1, then you take it.
Booyakasha!
Wow. And I was just about to give you a gift, too.
I don't know about if I want your gift after all the stuff that have been said. Was it a dance belt?
No, it's a bottle of Dobel tequila.
Bam.
There you go.
Boom. Nice. Dobel tequila
can I
for you.
Can I call it a tie?
No, you were going to get it regardless.
Oh, this is awesome.
Thank you to our guys at Dobel for giving Max and that. We know it's not vodka. Yeah. Vodka, but I hope you
tequila.
Like tequila too.
Now you're just generalizing.
any steps forward I took, I just.
And
went
thanks
back.
So much for sharing about Alphalete. We'll make sure to blast it
Absolutely.
Out as it gets a little bit closer. And if there's any links we can share to, you know, have people buy tickets or to participate in the golf or anything, let us know. We'll be
swayshow.com. That's okay. That's the website to go to, and all our information is there. By the way, we're putting together a fun weekend, so if people come through and want to spend a week in December in Miami, you know, you can have a lesson with a member of a cast. You can stay we're organizing this giant dance convention afterwards.
Cool. The whole package.
I mean, we'll do our best to provide entertainment.
Awesome.
Obviously,
it sounds like it. I mean, this has been an entertaining hour, and we thank you so much.
Well, you know, I'd come, but I only go with places that pay for me, like Fargo, North Dakota. They have to pay for the
I don't know if they'll ever pay for you again. You'll have to pay for
you're gonna have to close your bathrooms when I'm around. All right, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Max, for coming, and we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah, thanks.